Well, welcome to this week on Trapping Radio. We got a guest this week of Nick Ernie from RBG Traps. And he's up trapping. We've trapped together on and off all winter. We've had a lot of fun. And we thought that Nick would be a good interview to, you know, just kind of discuss some of the stuff that we've done. You know, some of his products and stuff like that. A lot of you will know Nick. You know, some of you may not. We're hoping that some of you don't know Nick out there so that you can, you know, find out about his products. If you all know Nick, then there's a big problem, right, Nick?
Yeah. Yep. So I'm up here in Michigan for the third time this season.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we started out last fall on some coyotes and then transitioned into water for a few days. Haggerty came up here, and that was, I learned a lot on that trip using his products. Mm-hmm. I'd always seen him. I used some of them. I was using them correctly, I guess, but he opened my eyes up to some other uses for them that I'd never thought about. And if you don't have him on your line, that's something you probably should have, because he's just really made stuff more versatile.
Oh, definitely. It's like when I was running his clips for the one, like the 110s or, right, you know, like that, where how he bent the conibear facing down, mm-hmm, you know, that was a big deal because I was running them off straight. And yeah, once he showed me to bend them down, I mean, it was like a big difference on getting them, right, in runs and stuff like that. So if you're using any of that stuff and it doesn't seem handy, you're using it wrong, like I did.
Right.
You know, because Haggerty makes, J1 makes everything, right, you know, where it's user-friendly. And, I mean, he thinks, you know, all that stuff through.
That was when me and him went out into the bay there, Lake Huron, and was setting them huts. I've trapped rats on huts before, not a lot. We just don't have a lot of rat huts in my area unless I go up to some state ground where you got to draw for it. And to be 100% honest with you, I never even throw body grips in the boat when we go up there. And after going with him, and he showed me some stuff, and then I showed him some what I had in my mind, and then we kind of put them together and started making a couple different sets out there that they produce really well. I was extremely happy with it.
Yeah, you guys came back with a bunch of rats.
Yeah, that
we sent you guys deep.
Yeah, yeah. That suspending that body grip half out of the water, and even so, in Michigan, you're not allowed to disturb the hut, which in Indiana you're allowed to.
Actually, they say molest the hut, and none of us are sure how you molest, air quotes, a hut. But it sounds really bad.
I'd say Haggerty could figure out how to do it.
Haggerty could molest a hut.
But, so we'd take them body grips and just, where they was going to crawl up on it, suspend them in the water in front of that, or where you knew them rats were swimming around the hut and there was, you know, maybe some reeds or some cattails, it was kind of the perfect distance apart. You could just suspend them. He was using single spring 160s RBGs, and I was using 5-inch RBGs, and it worked really well. I was extremely pleased with that.
They, when he came up rat trapping this winter, one thing he did was really amazed me, and I never thought of it. He wanted to get the, like, set for mink on the ice, and he went into some reeds, and where some reeds or grass comes out of the ice, and he went right in between them and pushed that rod right through the ice, right where that plant came out. There's a gap there, and I never knew that, you know. Uh-huh. And it was pretty slick how he did it.
Yeah.
And that just stabilized that conibear right there in that, like a mink run.
Yeah.
But no, he's definitely an awesome trapper. A lot of guys think that he's, you know, just good on the water, but you know, he can catch a shitload of coyotes too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good trapper all the way around, I believe.
I mean, he's not as good as, you know, southern Indiana guys or northern Michigan guys, but, you know.
He's middle. He's
yeah,
middle.
Yeah, he's like road. He's like in the middle.
Yeah.
Literally.
But, yeah, then then went from here to some trapping around the house and killed a bunch of coon and body grips this year. I know they weren't worth a lot, but you know what? You can't sell it if you don't have it, so.
You can't have no fun if you ain't doing it.
That's right. Nobody wants to work all the time.
No.
Then I tried to make a run to Tennessee the day after Christmas, and we got down there in the dark that night, and I thought the water looked high, and the next morning at daylight when I got on the side-by-side and went for a drive, it was confirmed what I had thought. So we never set a trap in Tennessee this year. That was a dry run and messed around the house, and then I guess my next excursion was when we met up in Louisiana.
Well, before that, we were supposed to go down to Kentucky and trap down there. That was our plan.
Yeah.
Me and Sarah was going to come down there and trap with you in Kentucky, or worst case scenario, your house. And everything was flooded. So
yeah, the tornado hit Kentucky, and then we flooded out, and then it got froze up. And then
Michael Newsom got a hold of me and said, hey, you want to go to Louisiana? I got a spot down there. And I said, sure. I said, when do you want to go? And he says, the first week of February. So I said, yeah, shit, I'll go. Me and Sarah went. And then Mike was leaving like a week after we got there. And he had to get back to work. Him and Lady Lightsall and his wife. So I told him, I said, can you check with the landowner? Because we were staying at his place. If he cared if Nick came down and, killed some more beaver and otter. And basically he wanted everything killed. But a deer. Or a turkey or a quail.
Yeah.
So the guy definitely wanted everything killed. So he says, yep, have him come down. So I called Nick and says, hey, when can you come down? He says, when? I says, yesterday. He was on his way.
You got to give me 2 days and I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun trip. I've trapped, I guess that would be considered the Mississippi Delta. If it's not, I don't know how you get any more flatter or any closer to the Mississippi River.
I would have to say that's definitely the Delta.
Yeah. I've trapped some outskirts of it in Mississippi, but nothing quite like that.
Well, when you stand on the levee, and you could see the floodplain on the one side and then flat fields on the other, where it used to be the floodplain. That's pretty Delta to me.
Yeah. The cool thing was Hagerty was going to Utah at that time, and he was talking about the elevation they were going to be trapping and staying and whatever. And that night, we're sitting back at the farmhouse where we stayed, and I pulled my Onyx up. My phone was sitting on the kitchen table, and it said the elevation was 1 foot. So if the levee would have broke, we'd have had wet feet in a hurry.
Yeah.
But that trip was neat. I trapped a lot of different states throughout the country, kind of up in north and south down the Mississippi River corridor that way. But I've never been into an otter population that strong. That simply amazed me, the number of otter they got down there.
Yeah, in that area, they're thick. And they just kept coming and coming and coming. And we caught, out of all the otter we caught, only two females.
Yeah, that was the other thing that was odd.
Yeah, I've never hit that small a percentage of females. And even in February, the male otters are on the move looking to breed. So you're going to, have a percentage higher of the males than the females because they're pushing so hard, but it was still a crazy percentage.
I think what surprised me more is generally everywhere else I trap around home or western Kentucky or even western Tennessee, some of them places, generally I run about every dozen beaver I catch, I'll catch an otter. Just, you get later into February, stuff like that, your percentages definitely go up because stuff's, the males are running really hard. And down there, it was like every three beaver you got two otter. It was crazy. Kind of learned the lay of the land down there. Hopefully, get to go back to that part of the world sometime because I definitely feel like I could.
We definitely are because we're going next year.
Yeah, it's
Michael Newsom. You'd be lining this up. We all want to go. But no, we're definitely going to go next year, and you know, like we talked about Plan B, you know, so
yeah.
But no, we learned a lot. You know, I mean, you never stop learning, and people say that as just a quote, but it, you know, or something to say, you know,
right.
So you don't think, you know, that they think they know it all. But it's true. We learned so much, and what helped was using them, you know, the Tacticam cameras and stuff, and seeing how the otters reacted to the traps, how the otters and the beaver reacted, you know, to certain situations, how they approached. I mean, we learned a ton. I mean, a ton.
Yeah, that was. I was there, what, like 3 days, and I was seeing your guys' trail cam footage and videos and whatnot, and we had to run into town, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go drop the money, and I went and bought three of them myself.
Yep.
I mean, it's...
I had five, and I went and bought three more, so I got eight, and then one fell over. They're not as waterproof as Haggerty says they are.
It looks like a bear chewed on it.
Yeah, a bear did chew. It looked like a bear or a coon or something.
Yeah, they're really neat. To be 100% honest with you, I'm probably more excited about running trail cams on my traps next year than I am actually setting traps.
Because you like learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Know. As a manufacturer, anything I can do to better my product, one, will obviously help your sales, but two, it just makes me a better trapper.
Yeah.
You know, it's... You don't use a 4-pound sledgehammer to drive trim nails, so you got to have the right tool for the job. And if you can learn this way, it does cost some money to run them and monthly fees and whatnot, but that's pretty cheap learning to me.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
you can't get any better learning than the animal showing you what they're doing themselves.
Yeah, I had even gone as far as. This summer, I was thinking about setting some body grips up and some cameras up and, like, hog ringing my body grip jaws, you know, like they used to in the old days of screw with guys.
Yeah.
And just, you know, letting animals go through them and just so I could see when that animal comes up to the trap, how it reacts to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's how excited I am about these trail cams and the footage we've been getting off of them. It's really neat.
It's been a game changer for me on, you know, you know, especially going back to Louisiana, you know, wanting to, you know, you got basically, you know, 10 months to think about it. So, you know, there is a lot of different things I want to try down there.
Because I think for me that the nearest thing I had to seeing what an animal was doing was either in snow or sand or mud where you could see their footprints, but you still didn't know what their head was doing at that time.
No.
You know, you could just see where they was putting their feet. Like coyote trapping, that gets really irritating when you,
yep.
you know, had one toe on the pan and didn't get him. But on the body grip and things, it's crazy. Yeah, I recommend anybody. And Jeff's going to put footage together, and I'm trying to learn how to do that sort of stuff and put footage together. And it's definitely a good learning tool, for sure, without a doubt.
Because, like I said before, anybody that thinks you think you're awesome, go put some game cameras on your sets.
Right.
It'll change your whole thought process.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. We never thought we were awesome, but, you know, it was still a
thought spark. We were better than what we actually are.
We thought we were better than what we actually are. We didn't think we were awesome by any stretch of the imagination, but I definitely thought I wasn't missing what... Missing what I've
yeah,
been missing.
I don't know if... If a guy catches a tenth of the fur that's coming up to your traps, I don't know.
No.
Well,
it's like, look at the beaver footage that Haggerty had, you know,
yeah.
from Iowa.
Right.
I mean, there's six, or, you know, they visited his set 22 times that night. 22 or 23.
No.
And he never caught a beaver. They sprung it with a
stick.
With a stick.
Blocking.
Yep.
And then at one time wasn't there like six beaver or something?
And yeah, there was like one crab. Yeah, four or six and two coon.
Yeah.
That, you know, and it's like the beaver fighting, you know, I mean, it's just cool footage.
Yeah, and I don't mean this in any derogatory way towards anybody that's wrote books or done anything in the past, But this brings a whole new element to learning. I mean, it is unbelievable because everybody that was doing stuff in the past, they were going off their experience and what they thought was going on. And I mean, unless you're sitting there in a lawn chair beside your set, you know, you couldn't see what was going on.
No, you don't know.
And I'm sure a lot of those theories are going to be proven right, but there's also going to be some theories that's proven wrong. There's no
doubt. And already have been.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
In our minds, they've been proven wrong.
Big time. Yeah, so it's, they're well worth the money to me. Absolutely. And if nothing else, if I can build a better product or better whatever to help trappers, I mean, that's my business. That's what I want to do. So, do it for you.
Yeah, and, like Nick says, we can't recommend strongly enough, you know, to go out and, you know, get a good camera and, you know, just see what's happening on, you know, some of your sets and, you know, where the coyotes are putting their feet. You know, I mean, it all will help. And, you know, you can buy the videos that they have out, but that's not your set. It's not the same. When you see your set and you had the miss and the picture gets sent to you, you know, we had the weirdest trapping camp any of us have ever had this year. We're sitting at the table. You know, and normally, like, you're sitting around drinking beer, coffee, whatever you do in the evening, and, you know, there's, you know, trappers are on the table. You know, there's, like, four or five of us. And the thing is normally you're doing one thing. This year, we're all, like, the pictures from all of our lines are all coming in, and we're looking and sending for the videos. And, you know, it made it really cool.
Yeah.
You know. And I know in a lot of states, you know, you can't use them to catch animals, or you know, help you get animals. But you know, that's not what as trappers, what we're doing. We're just using it as a learning tool. You know, so.
Yeah, I don't know how that would in some of those states. I guess talk to your CO. They'd probably be the best bet.
Yeah.
If you got them on actual sets.
But.
Either that or just write Jeff Hagerty's name in the inside of it, phone number.
Yeah. J1. Write J1 on it. They'll know who it is. But they, no, but it's hard to catch the animal, and then it's harder if you're setting up the camera to catch the animal getting caught.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to adjust all your cameras and all that. It's definitely a learning thing, but like Michael Newsom told me, he says, I don't want to run any cameras on mine. He says, I just want to think it is the way I think it is. Because he does really good. He's a good trapper, you know, especially coyotes.
Yeah, he's a very observant
person. Basically, he's kind of like Zagger, where he's always going to, you know, excel and try and be better and better and better and better.
Well, he was in Louisiana. He was prototyping some stuff, two different items that I had built. The one we just brought to the market yesterday for sale. It's the V stand. It's a stabilizer that we developed that will hold any body grip from a 155 to a 440, round or square. Covers them all, one shot. There is no carrying stuff for 220s, 330s, 160s. This will do it all in one shot. It was really a really good place to test it because before I ever put anything on the market, I want to make sure it's thoroughly tested. And we killed a lot of stuff in them, and I was intentionally trying to hang fur up on them and see how bad they'll bent up. And we never had any bent by the animal. We bent some ourselves doing stuff we shouldn't have done with them, but it's a really neat product. I really like it, and I never was much of a stabilizer guy myself. I was always two sticks, and if you can't make that work, find a better stick. You know, that was always my motto. But this has changed the way I even trap some because they're so quick and easy and handy to use, and so I guess I'll be a stabilizer guy now.
Yeah, they're definitely an awesome product. Yeah, I when you first drug them all, like I told you last night, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, skeptical, you right. know, and, you know, and I went and I started using them, and, you know, we started, you know, the trap would go and be super tight, you know, where it wasn't any other. It was easy to get on the stand, because a lot of my stands out here are the ones that go on the inside of the springs, and they're a pain in the ass, especially if you got them down in the water. You know, they don't, they're, you can't see to get them on, and then one will slip, and, you know, I mean, anybody that's out there that has dealt with them inside spring stabilizers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, they're just, they're hard to do. And, you know, these ones ain't like that. I mean, they just slide right on, and, you know, we start, you know, slapping them in spots, and, you know, I mean, we start catching doubles on otters, and,
right.
you know, I mean, once you start catching doubles on otters, and we were, you know, we're trapping otter, and, you know, we're catching, you know, coon like crazy, you know, and I'm like, yeah, these things are awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, they just pop right through them.
Yeah. The speed of them is what I like. That's just exactly what you said, wrestling around with the other ones, and then you had to carry different sizes, and generally when I'm water trapping, whether I'm at home or it depends the state, you know, what traps are legal, where you got to have them set, water depth, whatnot. But generally, if I'm water trapping at home, I'm carrying the RBG 280, 330, and 440. So in turn, I would have had to carry three different types of stands with me. And then it just, I've got a side-by-side. I upgraded a few years ago to that off my four-wheeler and thinking, oh, I'll have plenty of room to do whatever I want. But you never have enough room. You could drive a semi on the line and you'd still be asking for more room. So this is just something to take the confusion out of it. And you don't reach in and grab a 330 stabilizer when you're just wanting a 280 and get in there making your set. And then you're wrestling it around. Then you got to walk 50 yards back to the truck. And it just... It really works. It's so simple, it's stupid, basically.
And we've never seen anything like it on the market before.
No, not at all. Even the H stands I was building before, I had a V put in them. And I was just had my blinders on, so used to what we've done forever to make them like your typical H stand. And yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that it's been overlooked this long.
And so basically what these stands are is you have a stand for, a 155, you have a stand for a 160, you have a stand for a 220, a 330, a 440, you know. So you have all these stands that you have to have. And basically with this stand, they all fit one stand. So you don't have to spend, if you're a stand guy, where you're using stands or lady trapper, you know, you don't have to have all these stands. You are buying one stand that will fit all them traps.
Yeah. I have yet to find a double spring trap that will not work on it. You know, some of the 155s, the spring lengths are a little shorter and whatnot. So you got to get a little creative in the way you put them on there. But just, you know, if you buy some, grab your 155. Don't wait till opening day of the season when you want to put out 40 sets. Get it out beforehand and play with it and get comfortable with setting it with what you're using. And you'll quickly realize how fast they are, without a doubt.
No, I'm a believer. I like them.
Yeah.
And Sarah definitely loves them.
Yeah. I think it definitely makes her more comfortable with a body grip. Yeah. For sure. But if anybody's wanting to see pictures of them or buy some right now, they're on shetraps.com. I'm sure other dealers will get them here in the near future. I just had a limited production run. And I was coming this way, so I brought some along to... Some of the northern guys are still beaver trapping, so I figured I would try to get them.
Well, last night we put them up for sale. We did a live on Facebook, and the order's been piling in all day.
Yeah, hell, we took a backseat load to the UPS station this morning.
And post office,
The way it sounds, we got another backseat load to deliver.
Yeah, we'll be doing them. Me and you'll be doing them up in the morning. Before we go beaver trapping, we gotta get these stands out.
We gotta find a tape gun. These little tape deals that Sarah uses is not up to my caliber.
But if you're, like Nick says, if you're interested, go to shetraps.com and they're on there. Nick also makes, you know, our Black Widow stands, and you can check those out. You know, they go vertically or horizontally, you know, both ways, and they fit everything. So, you know, but Nick builds those for us, and he always does a great job. So, you know, I mean, he builds quality, and he's, you know, pretty much, you know, where he's doing this for a living, and, you know, he's not going to put his name or reputation out there, you know, just trying to get a one-time sale with some junk product and stuff. And, you know, so, I mean, if you use stands and want to try them, I mean, these would be the stands to try.
Yeah. I want you to reorder more because I got kicked off the side of a bank somewhere and the water was too deep to get them, not because something broke and tore up.
Yeah.
But, that's a big deal to us, quality. Any complaint I've ever had, I've addressed it head on. And even before, I've got traps back that were manufactured before I bought the company. And I don't haggle, don't question, don't anything. I just replace it. And, you know, that's, customer service is important to me. I deal with a lot of other companies, and I don't like to be crapped on, so I ain't going to do it to somebody else. But that's what we pride ourselves in, is the quality of what we produce. And, you know, that other thing I've been working on, which I don't have perfected yet, I'm going to have to make some adjustments so it won't be available this year for sure, because we're running out of season, but the game cameras taught me a lot about them. It's been a really learning winter for me.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Humbling.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get settled into a rut, and I did, without a doubt. I was in a rut. I walked into a place, and like I said, I trap a lot of states most winters, you know, four or five different states, and it might not be the same spot every year, but it's the same kind of terrain. So you grab an armful of body grips and a couple footholds or snares, or depends on the walls where you're at, and just go in there and set it up. And you never really stood back and looked. And I think I done more standing back and looking this winter, and it's taught me a lot more. I was always so worried about the running and gunning and dragging in big numbers and making landowners happy. And, you know, you felt guilty because you weren't at home with the family and working every day, so you wanted to make it seem like you was doing all you could to be productive. And this winter, I'm not saying I wasn't productive. I just didn't run a gun and push as hard as I normally do. And I enjoyed a lot of that, standing back and looking at stuff.
Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you learn. Take your time and, you know.
Yeah.
I did pretty much the same, and, you know, a lot of times we were together with Haggerty, or Locklear came up, Clint was always fun. So, you know, I mean, that's pretty much what we did all year, is just, traps and had fun and hanging out with friends. And Sarah loved it because she got all the beer cans.
Yeah. Throwing her for a wrench this week. Brought Indiana cans in Michigan.
Yeah, she'll be standing there at that machine trying to put them in.
What's wrong with this thing?
I hate these.
But yeah, it's been, and I learned a lot, you know, watching you make those blind sets for coyotes. I aside from snares, and that's probably why I never learned how to blind set with footholds, is most places I trap, we can snare. So I felt if it was narrowed down enough for me to blind set with a foothold, I just hung a snare.
Yeah.
And in Michigan, it's not like that. So that was on the canine end of things. That was
the other thing is with the footholds is you don't, with a snare, you know, you still have a chance of having a refusal. Yeah. When they run down that trail and it's buried underground, and you know, you've done everything right, which doesn't always happen, but when you've done everything right,
there's no refusal. Right. They're just cruising down through there. I mean, it's the most deadliest set in a trapper can make.
I've got a good friend at home that kills a lot of beaver, and he's went on some out-of-state trips with me, too. And he always says he traps a lot of man-made impoundments. He does a lot of work for coal mines. Like I said, he's an animal. Works full-time job, kills a couple hundred beaver a year, and just he's an animal. And he always says there's one spot in every place you trap where you could kill every beaver if you had the patience. Mm-hmm. And he's right. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go, there is that one magical spot, and you need to learn.
Well, Sarah's found two of them. Yeah. Because she's killed, what, like seven at one spot and five at the other?
She's just lucky we didn't find the magical spot before she found that
one. Yeah, we would have cut her off.
We found the magical spot yesterday.
The problem is that she's killed everything.
I know. No, we're going to not produce because of it.
She wanted me to bring up one thing was, like, with your RBGs, she said that, you know, she'd like you to address, you know, because a lot of people, I wouldn't say, there's probably a lot of people, everybody's spooky of conner bears or body grips, you know, because they don't want to join a 330 club, you know, whether it be a 220 or whatever. But she said, like, she feels really comfortable with your traps because of the fact of those safeties that you have on them.
Oh, and they're wide different safeties.
The wide safeties, you know, so maybe you could kind of talk about that. You know, cause I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the same boat, you know, that was like with Sarah that, you know, I mean, she has done a lot of foothold stuff, but not a lot of conner bear stuff and, or, you know, body grip so we don't get sued. But they, you know, she feels real confident with that because of them wide safeties. And I will say I like them myself.
Yeah, it's about a half-inch wide piece of flat stock shaped like a safety. You know, your traditional round bar safeties shaped in the same manner. They don't fall off as easy. I'm not going to say they never fall off because they can and will, but they don't fall off as easy. Probably my biggest downfall with that safety is I'm always in a rush and I never have my stuff dipped. And so I'm getting ready to leave for a trip somewhere. Season's going to open and here I'm dipping traps, you know, 12 hours before I'm getting ready to leave and everything's dried up. So then the next day when I'm going to set them, all the dips stuck on there. And so you got to take a stick or your pliers or whatever and tap them loose. But other than that, I like them. I really like them. Last night during that live, we were handling some other styles or companies of body grips that had the round bars on it, and if you went back to the live and watched it, you can see I watched, which I hate doing this, but I watched myself after the live, and when I was handling my trap, which obviously I build them so I'm comfortable with them and they were my personal traps, so I've got them tuned the way I like them, I didn't watch the safeties near as much as some of the other style traps. I was watching myself in that video, and when I was holding the one with round bar safeties, I mean, I just kept looking down at the safety as I was handling that trap.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, you're on film, and you're not paying attention as well. And
yeah, it's like in a demo.
Yeah,
you don't exactly. want to be the guy
that catches himself.
That catches yourself. Right.
That's something Sarah asked me the other day is, can you put safeties on upside down? Because I always set my trigger on the bottom. Or shouldn't say always, but probably 90%+ of the time, I set mine on the bottom. And I told her, yeah, of course. And because some of my traps that I built for me, I knew that I was taking those traps when I built them. I put the safety on upside down, so to speak, just for that reason.
So someday when you're dead and gone, somebody will be like, what the hell's going on?
Well, it was funny. So when I bought the company, I built, you know, obviously traps. And I bought it like the day after our water season opened is when mm-hmm. I brought the equipment home. So we are actively building traps just as soon as we got the shop set up. And I've got pictures of a stick of rod and then like 24 hours later, a dead beaver that was that stick of rod and produce that dead beaver. So I was, you know, making them and using them right away. And I'd used them before, don't get me wrong, but I was trying to get a bunch of pictures and stuff for promotion, so, you know, I was really hurrying the situation. And I built mine that way with the safeties on upside down because I knew those were going to be my traps. So we had done it was called the Beaver Brigade, and it was through the United Trappers of Kentucky. It was kind of a Kentucky DNR-sponsored. Basically, we were hired guns that weren't getting paid to go in and fix beaver problems is what it was. And there was a group of 9 or 10 of us, and I think in 5 checks we killed like 185 beaver down there. It was crazy. But I, you know, like I said, I just bought the company, so I built these traps and took them along with them. And the guys down there said, everybody grab a couple, take them, tell me what you think. You know, if you want to buy them, I'll sell them to you. If you don't, at the end of the week, give them back. And one of the guys down there, he picks one up. He goes, I hate traps built this way. They put the safety on backwards. And I explained to him what I had done and why I had done it. He goes, well, damn, that's a good idea. I can't believe nobody else does that.
He wouldn't have bought their traps before that.
Yeah, there's no way he'd have bought one. And he ended up buying this trap, the ones that he took to use that week, he ended up buying them. Yeah. So there's always a way to adapt your product to your preferences, just the same way I set mine up. Some people like it, some people hate it. I found it the best for me, so that's what I do. You know, just because I do mine that way don't mean you have to. Find what works in your system.
The one other thing that you're doing that you know, a lot of people out there might find interesting is the single spring 160s. You know, you're making those. And, you know, a lot of rat trappers always want them, especially ice trappers, you know, want the single spring 160s. And what was it? Was it Haggerty that asked you to, you know, make them?
Yeah, Haggerty started this train wreck straight up. It was all his fault. I will definitely call him out on that. he just come to me, and where I live at, we get some ice. Very seldom is it strong enough to hold you up. So basically my motto is, when we get ice, I either go south or put up fur. Yeah. I'm not busting ice. And
yeah.
It just, we get crap weather where we're at. It's 60 one day and 20 the next. And just, it's irritating. So I never mess around with through the ice stuff or none of that. And he asked if I could build him some. I said, yeah, that's not a big deal. It's nothing super custom that you're wanting, you know. Basically, it's just leave a spring off. So I built them, and like I said, I used them up here with him, and I really like him. I'm glad he pointed that out to me. And the through the ice deal, I wish we could have got some good footage of that through the ice stuff this winter.
We tried.
Yeah.
All we could get was mud.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'd love to. If there's some through the ice guys that would be willing to give them a shot, I'd definitely work with you. You know, especially if you'd be willing to shoot some footage or stuff like that for me. So you can get a hold of me.
We would do it ourselves, but we'll be in Louisiana.
Yeah. That's I say I do a lot of water trapping, and I do. I really do. I prefer to be in the water. I like to water trap, but I do a lot of canine trapping as well. And I'll be doing canine demos somewhere, and some guy will inevitably always ask, well, what do you use for antifreeze? And I just go south.
Oh.
Well, what do you mean? It's like, I go south.
Oh.
I don't use antifreeze.
That's what Glenn always said. He said he puts Texas dirt on his trap.
Very true. Yeah, that's right. Because I hate that freeze and thaw. And at home, if we're going to get a good stretch of frozen weather, I'll set some footholds, but if it's back and forth and back and forth, I'm out.
Well, you got a taste this spring of like really frozen ground.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you like to chop through that?
With water on top of it and 2 inches of mud and then frozen ground.
Yeah. Yep.
Snow. I've never seen snow before underneath water that would not melt. I think they got partially salt water up here or something.
That's like the one guy on Facebook. We had a video of Nick. You know, Sarah caught a beaver. She's went out of town. Nick went and reset the trap for her, got the beaver out, and I shot a quick video of him doing it. And he, this guy asked, "What are you gonna trap? You know, you gonna trap till June? You know, well, I mean, the season, you know, doesn't end till the 29th. You know, so, but, you know, our up here, like Nick would tell you, or Clint, or anybody, or you know, Vertz's, anybody's been here. I mean, number one, it's legal to trap till this time.
Yeah.
But on our lakes, like this gravel pit down the road, there's still ice on half of it.
Well, that beaver, whatever it was, lake or...
Yeah, Beaver Lake.
You could look out, and I mean, it was definitely iced over yet. I mean, without a doubt.
Because there's a lot of years here on the lakes where, you're wondering, like, walleye season is the last Saturday in April. You know, if the ice, when we used to do live bait, we'd wonder, you know, is the ice even going to be off these for the opener? And most of the time, almost every time it is, because you'll get a strong wind at some point, and it'll blow it, and, okay, you know, take out some cottages, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was up here a week and a half ago or whatever that was, you know, you drive past these rivers, and if we get a cold snap, yeah, you might get a little bit of ice floating down your river, but it was like solid ice flowing down these rivers. I'm like, well, that'd be a bastard to fall in. It would be awful.
Yeah. We still got them, though.
Yeah.
It was rough, but...
Went through a lot of T-bars.
And all the Facebook people all, you know, said, I do this, I do that. It's different when you're standing there, your actual self,
yeah,
and you've been, you know, because you're only seeing, you know, a minute or 3 minute, 4 minute clip of what's went on the whole day. They only see that. They don't see where you was at 12 creeks before that, you know, trying to push this shit in or, you know, force a set in and beating on these things. So they're only seeing this one point.
Yeah, that one day it had rained and we was moving stuff up and I was remaking a set and moved it 4 foot up the bank because the water jumped that much and I just lost it when I was remaking that set. Couldn't get the stand in right. You couldn't get the T-bar in right. Then when you finally found a place that was thawed, then you hit a tree root. And
yeah. Just,
yeah, aggravating.
It was Sarah. She just pounds it right through the tree root. Like yeah. The one we tried yeah, to get like out.
The one I had to beat out today. To beat him out of the ground. First you had to beat
him. It was so bad that I went over and asked Nick. I says, she went through a tree root with this one. Do you got any ideas? My only idea was to beat the top off the T-bar, and that's generally what I would do and just pull the rod off the top and leave it. But I'd already lost so many. I can't lose anymore. So Nick come over there and gracefully just got it off.
Yeah.
Thanks again for that, Jeff Haggerty.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff. Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a challenge for sure. And that's what's fun about different states, different places, different areas. You know, you guys went to Iowa. They invited me to go to Iowa. I was way backed up on work. And apparently you got to be like Billy Goat or something out there to go up and down the ditch banks because that's all I've heard about Iowa. I haven't heard anything else about catching beaver or this or that. All you hear about is how steep the banks are.
They're steep. No, I love it out to Iowa. You know, I mean, I started trapping out there with Sarah. You know, when we got together and, you know, we started trapping out there and I love the country. You know, where she's at, even like J1 said that, he said he was even looking at buying properties out there. He loved it so much. He said, really? This is awesome property. And I think when he seen the price of the land out there, that he changed it being from Michigan. Different than UP prices.
That was like whenever I heard the price of what some ground up here sold for, I was like, that wouldn't have made it. They wouldn't even have made it to a realtor. It would have been gone just that immediately quick. It's crazy, the land price difference.
You know, they got a lot of fur down in Iowa. I mean, there's just a ton of fur. It's great trapping. You know, nobody really bothers you a lot. Generally, if you're killing, you're killing coon down there, I mean, the farmers are glad to see you, you know.
I mean, it's a pretty awesome place. I love it down there.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that Iowa road line.
Yeah. Oh, we will. We got a place to stay.
Yeah. A few days, and just to say I've done it, that's kind of always been one of my bucket list items.
Well, the biggest problem going out of state is always a place to stay. Yeah. You know, we ain't got that problem there.
Yep.
So.
Place to stay and place to skin. Once you've got that figured out, you can worry about the rest when you get there.
Yeah, we got both. We even got a skinning machine.
Hey.
And freezers. We got four freezers.
We're in business.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And Sarah's got lots of property with permissions, and they got their road trapping, so we're all set.
Yep. I'm definitely looking forward to trying it. Probably be one of them freak winters where it freezes tight in Iowa November 1st. There we stand breaking the tops off T-bars again.
That's how it was when we got down to Iowa this time. The water was frozen. The ground was frozen, and the water went up over it, and, you know, you're beating T-bars in. But I know, trapping coon in Iowa, early on, I'm a high water coon trapper.
You're not going down to make the pocket set.
No, I'm a high ground guy.
My plan was to put J1 in the front seat, and then I would run the truck and the GPS and point.
Yeah. That's what my dad used to do. Run the map and point.
No, I think it'll be a lot of fun to do that.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
I guess another thing up here that, and after we had left Louisiana, you guys laid over at the house there for a few days because of an ice storm. And we were flooded bad. You can ask Jeff. I was using 8-foot drowners, and I was sticking them into the side of the bank because you couldn't even get to the bottom of the ditch. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were flooded out really bad. And he said, well, just make caster mounds and set them. And I never really done that much. Generally, when we flooded bad, I either went somewhere else or put up fur for a week or so until it mellowed out. And the travel and beaver aspect, I don't guess I ever really, really messed with much. And up here, it's crazy. You just find some running water and throw a set out. And
yep.
Odds are you're going to have a beaver eventually.
Yep, if you weigh down them, you're generally.
Yeah.
But that's why it's always, you know, like this time of year is always my favorite trapping beaver because, you know, basically, you know, you've got the whole river. You're just sitting in a 1-foot spot. And you got the whole river.
Yep.
And anything that passes by, and they're real aggressive in the spring.
Right.
But, you know, even like, you know, setting here, you know, I use quite a few, you know, footholds for, you know, drowners with all Haggerty stuff, you know, but his whole setup. But, you know, we've been setting, you know, back in the old days, I was using 330 lure sets, you know, but, you know, they changed the law. They got to be half submerged now. And, you know, we've been putting in quite a few of those. And, you know, they've been working really good.
The fluctuating water up here is all the rain and whatnot makes it a little difficult to keep stuff where it needs to be. But, and lots of lure, that's another thing. I always thought Sarah was just busting my ass because she was a lure salesman, but I'm pretty sure she's right about it. Use big globs of lure.
Oh, I ain't going to tell you she's wrong. Ain't no way now.
Yeah.
No, she's turned into a pretty good beaver trapper. She definitely loves it.
Yeah.
She don't like it like she likes trapping. She likes trapping coyotes. That's her favorite. So,
I promise you, she didn't love it the other day when she was down on all fours and the water was running in her boots.
No.
She didn't have any love on her face that time.
No. But me and Nick, Sarah had a crash and she went over her boots, over her gloves, fell right in, and then she stood up and took in a step and went in again.
Yeah.
And then, so me and Nick told her that, you know, you've been catching a lot of beaver. And, in fact, she kicked my ass a lot of days.
But the thing is you weren't officially a beaver trapper till you went over your boots and you fell in. You weren't officially a beaver trapper. And the water's cold as hell.
Yeah.
But she fell in and she went all the way back to that dam with you after that.
Yeah, because I tried to keep going and I took some water over my boots and I couldn't make it that way, so I found a different way. But yeah, she dumped the water out of them right behind me. She went.
And then when we came back to the house, and then she went in to change. She tromped through our whole house with them boots on, hurrying. And I mean, they had barks and leaves and mud and everything all over the floor. And she went in and changed, and she goes, "All right, I'm ready."
Yeah, we come in here.
We're like, we're done.
Took our boots off.
It's 7 o'clock at night. We're done. And she goes, "Oh, I thought we were going back out. You know, we got an hour and a half of daylight." Like, nope. Yeah. We're done.
All she has to do yet is go over her chest waders when you're going to lay on the bank to let the water run out of them because it's so cold you don't want to pull them down.
And put your feet up.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing that I was, you know, because I got some of your 1022s, and, you know, I mean, I set them, and I caught beaver and otter and stuff in them, but, you know, I don't have 30 of them. I only got two,
right.
You know, because, I mean, for select spots, but you use quite a few of them, especially like down in Louisiana, and I was really shocked of, you know, how... You know, it's like I use one and I get a head catch, and it's like, you know, you think nothing of it because it was one trap. But seeing you with them, where, you know, throughout, you know, down there and up here and around, you know, the you know, how many head catches you actually get in those, you know, where, it's unbelievable how many head catches you actually get in them traps. Because as big as they are, you would think that you wouldn't get a head catch, but you do.
So the trigger system on those is adjustable, and that's a big part of it, in my opinion.
And I use them traps, and I never knew they were even adjustable. Because mine was really stiff, and I'm like, and I'd move it back and forth and spray it down with spray. And
But this year we caught, and I've never done this in one of those before, we caught a Minkin one.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and head catch. It was a head catch on a mink.
You should have just named that head on her.
I was on the phone, and I got a little boy, and we was checking traps, and he knew where the next trap was at, and so I put the truck in park, and I was on the phone talking, and he jumps out of the truck and takes off running, and I could tell right away that the trap was either fired or gone or something, because he was looking too long, and then he you see him kind of go down the ditch bank, and then the head pops up, and his hands are waving, and I was like, well, you know, he probably caught his otter, so... I get off the phone and walk over there and pulled up, and there's a mink in it.
A mini otter.
You know, a trap that's 22 and a half inches wide and 10 inches tall, you catch a mink in it.
Yep.
It just really surprised me. But a lot of it's, we done a lot of playing with the dogs on them, with the trigger assembly and whatnot, because there's bigger traps on the market, but I don't feel that the trigger assembly was correct on them. I feel like there could be some changes made, whether it's the dog or the trigger or whatever the case may be. But, you know, like I said before, I like to test stuff and make sure it's going to work before I ever bring it to the market. And, you know, that's where that come from.
Yeah. No, you definitely put out quality stuff. And, you know, I mean, just because we're friends, I mean, if it wasn't that way, I mean, I wouldn't say it.
Right.
And, but, well, the, Nick's son's name is, Lane, and, he never stops. There's no walking with him. It's running. Everywhere. He's always at 900 miles an hour.
Yep.
And, when me and Sarah would stay down at, Nick and his wife's house, we were, you know, there when we come back from Louisiana for, you know, 5-6 days. Anyways, Lane's talking about skinning beaver and stuff, and he's, you know, his mouth never quits. You know,
once he won't say a word until he gets comfortable with you, And then once you know it's you, it's over
with. I mean, me and him, you know, at conventions, you know, we'll try and choke each other out. You know, we have a fun time. You know, so I know him pretty good. And but he's always talking, you know, once he gets to know you. And he's talking about, I can skin beaver this fast. And I'm like, all right, you show us, little man, how fast you can skin this beaver. Anyways, I videotaped him, and I'll tell you what, that kid, I was really impressed with him. I mean, he's a good boy anyways, but, you know, he's going to be a good man, and he skinned that beaver, and he fought it, and that beaver weighed, what was it, like 10 pounds more than he did, or he weighed 10 pounds more than the beaver.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 67, and he was about 75.
Yeah. And he'd, like, fight it, and, you know, and, you know, I put that up online, and, you know, everybody was really impressed with him. And, you know, and they said what a good dad you are and how you're doing a good job with him, you know.
Yeah, I really appreciated it.
Yeah, but no, he's a good kid.
That's before we started the interview tonight. I went out and called the wife and him, told him goodnight and stuff because he's got to go to bed, and I told Dana, my wife, I said, well, we're going to do this interview, so I'm going to get going. He thought it was a Facebook Live, and he goes, I don't have school tomorrow, Mom. We can watch it.
And I'll tell you what kind of guy Nick is. You know, the thing is when you're buying product off of somebody, you know, you can – my thing is if I think somebody's an asshole – I ain't buying their product. Right. I don't care if they got the best product in the world. I will use shit rather than buy their product if they're an asshole. You know, but the thing is I trap with Nick a lot. He's a good friend. You know, when I see things in his life, and he doesn't know I'm going to say any of this. But the thing is when I'm on the line, like doing lives or sending stuff to trappers online, Nick's shooting videos for his son when he's out of state and his son can't be there. He's sending videos so when his son gets out of school, he can come and watch those videos and see what his dad's doing.
Yeah.
You know, and every night Nick's calling his son, and they talk all the time and have a good relationship. And that's the kind of guy and the man that you're buying RBG traps from. So, I mean, you know, that pretty much says it all to me that you know, I mean, you got a dad that cares enough to shoot videos when he's out of state trapping every time. And stuff that you would, you know, just a coon or a possum in a trap, just something that boy would, you know, kind of get the fire going.
Yeah,
so,
just a 10, 15-second video telling what it is. And
so, I mean, when you're making a decision on what trap you're going to use, you know, consider the person that you're buying it off of. And, you know, and like I say, Nick doesn't know I'm going to say any of this, so...
No, I appreciate that.
Well, other than that, you're an asshole.
It's not the first time I've heard it.
I know. Haggerty tells you all the time.
Yeah. His opinions are like a grain of salt, though.
Yep, J1.
J1.
So, all right. Well, I guess we're out of time. And since Clint only gave us an hour, and we're right there.
We're pretty much there.
Yep, we're out of here.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for using both our products. We really appreciate it.